Yeah, it is the Bleed Blue Show. We are with New York Yankees Talk, talking Yankees baseball, spring training action. Going to talk the starting pitching. Got Kenny D with us, New York Yankees Talk. New York Yankees Talk, the Facebook fan page. Also on Twitter, at @NY_Yankees_talk. Kenny D, my man, what's going on? How's everything?
Everything's going good. How you doing?
I'm good. Got off to a nice little start for the spring training for the Yankees. We can talk that. We're going to talk some starters tonight. I have my concerns, Kenny. This is the real concern of this team. If there ever was one, it's these guys right here. But we'll get into that in a few. What's your thoughts over the weekend with the Yankees games? The Philly game, Friday and Saturday. You had the Blue Jay game. You had the Baltimore game. What's your thoughts on the games this past weekend?
So they opened it up on Friday at home at George Steinbrenner Field against the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Good win. Got strong pitching performances out of Brian Mitchell. I think he was a starter that day. A couple other guys came in. Got home runs off the bat. Didi, my idol. Aaron Judge went deep off a high fastball.
Yep.
He's going to be doing that all year, hopefully. And that was a good game to see all around. Some of the young guys stepped up later in the game. We saw extra base hits from Torres, from Frazier. All around good win. Next day, they lost on a walk-off. I didn't catch that game. Uh-huh. Severino got the start. He pitched pretty well, I think. Well, that was just the next day. He pitched the next day, right?
He pitched the
Severino pitched the Blue Jays game.
The Blue Jay game, yep.
I missed the second game against the Phillies. That was at the Phillies home park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Severino pitched the next day. He looked good.
Clearwater.
Yeah, Clearwater, is that where it is?
Yep.
Where's that?
Right across the water, right across the causeway from Tampa. All
right.
Yep.
All right, yeah. Yeah, they got the Blue Jays on Sunday. They look good that day. I'll tell you, the ball's flying right now. We're hitting a lot of big hits. Young guys are stepping up. Today we got a big three-run home run off the bat of someone that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah. Right at the end, man.
Estrada, I think his name is.
Estrada hit that three-run home run at the top of the ninth.
Top of the ninth, yeah.
Today's game, actually.
That was afternoon, yeah.
Yeah.
So right now they're 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what it really means to win in spring training, but can't be a bad thing.
Can't be a bad thing at all. I think it's pretty good, dude. To your points, I mean, Didi's I love Didi, too. You know, I love Didi Gregorius. And as you saw, Tenor on that pitch in the first game and then Judge in the next inning, like you said, hitting that high fastball. But that was a fun game to watch on Friday, especially getting the triple. Later in that game and scoring on the error or something like that, they missed ball. I thought right off to a fast start for the Yankees, man.
Andujar,
I mean, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. I mean, you like to see progress. I like to call this a segment I wanted to look into spring training because we talked about Greg Bird. I know this is a starters episode, but I wanted to emphasize this. Did you see a lot of Greg Bird?
You know,
up until this point.
I haven't seen as much as I would have liked to see. I think he's gotten a couple starts, maybe 5-6 at bats so far. I think he's still hitless. Last time I checked.
Yep.
I think the key for him at this point is just accumulating at bats. So you think he'd get more starts? Hopefully, he will as the spring progresses. But for him, the key is just getting at bats, getting his timing down. You know, missing a year is tough at any level.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's just got to get his swing back, and that's just going to come with time. I heard an interview with Brian Cashman said that, you know, worst case scenario, they send him back down to the minors for a little bit, let him cook in the oven, and come back up to the majors when he's ready. Hopefully, they don't have to come to that. But that's I guess that's why they picked up Chris Carter a couple weeks ago. So. You know, I'm a big Greg Bird fan. I hope he succeeds. I think it's just going to come with time. I think he's there. He's got the talent, no doubt.
Yeah, he said. I think he had the in the first game. He had a walk and he struck out in the second game. Just keeping tabs on Greg Bird because we talked about that on a prior episode. Because we want to see his timing. We want to see his progression.
Yeah.
He was dubbed They're starting for his baseman, so we want to see how he's going to do with these games. I saw Holiday be effective as well, man. Holiday, and you talked about Chris Carter as well. It's nice to see those guys get into the groove of things as well. But all in all, up until this point, man, especially that first game winning 9-4 over the Philadelphia Phillies, pretty good thus far. But yeah. I mean, how much? You don't put too much weight in wins when it comes to spring training. It's more about the progress. It's all about getting the guys developed, getting the guys warmed up. And to your point, Severino's a big one on that.
Yeah.
And that's, he's going to be one of the focal points of this topic tonight with the starters. So may we get into these starters, and we'll get back into some of the spring training games. What's your thoughts as far as overall starting pitching? I mean, outside of Tanaka, who was like, 14-4 last year, you have CeCe and Pineda. And we talked about Severino, what his role is going to be, and Chad Green and Adam Warren. What's your thoughts as what this thing is looking like, or what it should look like? Or is it still unanswered at this point?
So I think right now you got your top three set. You got Tanaka at the one. I think they're still going to keep Pineda at number two, for better or for worse, and Severino, I expect to be at in the three spot, despite him spending some time in the bullpen last season. Four, I'm going to have to give to CeCe. He's not going to go anywhere else. So that last fifth spot is really where there's a little bit of a question mark. And if you ask me right now, I think there's three guys really fighting for it. It's Luis Sessa, Chad Green, and Brian Mitchell. Brian Mitchell was really tabbed to be that fifth starter coming into spring last year. Then he injured his foot, missed the entire season, lost a lot of time, lost the position on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. So right now I have him at the lowest probability of landing that spot behind Sessa and Green. Sessa we know is an effective relief pitcher. We've seen Chad Green a little bit more in a starting role. So if you had to ask me now, I'd say Chad Green gets that spot. Mm-hmm. I think we saw him pitch a couple days ago. I think he looked pretty good, judging by the numbers. So I'd pencil Chad Green into that fifth spot to round out the rotation. And if they stay healthy, that's a pretty strong rotation. Pineda, you worry about with his consistency and the ability to throw that slider for a strike. But if he's on, he's one of the most dominant pitchers in the league. And we've seen him strike out 16. We've seen him take no-hitters into this.
That was two seasons ago, Kenny.
That was two seasons ago now, yeah. Two seasons ago. But I assume he's still capable of doing it. Okay. Hopefully he's worked out the kinks this offseason and he'll be ready to go.
See, that's my question, though, about Pineda. Even to a degree, Severino. What about Pineda? Are we getting to 2015 Pineda? Or are we going to get the struggles of what we saw out of Pineda, especially in April and May last year? He was getting rocked.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm really, especially at your number two starter, man.
Yeah, I've never been a big Pineda fan. I think that trade where we got him for Jesus Montero, I guess you can say we won that trade just because Montero completely busted. Mm-hmm. But that didn't really help anyone in the long run. Pineda is very inconsistent. I think he gets in his head a lot. You see his body language on the mound. He looks like a psycho, to be honest. He just kind of like looks a little, he gets very flustered if anything goes wrong. If an error is made behind him, it's the end of him. So you just hope that he's worked on that a little bit. He's clearly got the talent. I mean, that's never been a question. It's just his ability to implement that talent in a game setting when the pressure's on. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to wait and see. You say maybe he's not the number two starter. I agree with that. But no one else right now in the Yankees has really stepped up and shown that they can be a consistent number two starter at the big league level. I'm hoping that Severino can show that he's capable of that. We saw him pitch again on it was Saturday against the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Or Sunday against the Blue Jays yesterday. We say it was. So Sunday. Yesterday.
Sunday.
And one thing that a lot of people have been talking about is that he developed more of a changeup in the offseason, which he threw effectively several times during his two-inning outing. I think every pitcher needs to have a changeup. especially someone like Severino with such a overpowering fastball slider combination. Mm-hmm. That changeup's just going to be coming from the same arm slot. It's going to look the same, but it's going to be 8-9 miles an hour slower, tail off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That if he can use it properly, it can be a very effective pitch. I think that turns him into more of a starter, mm-hmm. someone with a tertiary or a fourth pitch to complement his primary two. Is something that you see as a starter, as someone who's a starter, not necessarily just a relief pitcher.
Well, let me ask you this. The same question, it'll apply to both of them. What do you think mentally, is there going to be some sort of a reset button for Pineda and Severino, especially the way they've been getting rocked in 2016? Are you confident? I guess that's the question. Are you confident as a Yankee fan that, okay, I forget, there's parts of 2015 where Pineda was dominant, and same thing with Severino in the summer months of 2015. But even if they didn't get to that level, you think there could be some sort of meeting ground? Can you see them sort of rebound after that terrible 2016? We cannot get out of the division if one or the other or both are going to struggle like the way they did in 15.
Yeah.
Like me in 16.
I hear what you're saying. Pineda, there weren't many encouraging signs from his 2016 campaign. He said he struggled with consistency, with his command. So you're looking for him to bounce back. His confidence has to be a little shaken, but he's a grown man. He should be able to deal with that. Severino's story is a little different. He's much younger. The fact that he struggled a little bit can be attributed more just to a lack of experience, which can't be said for Pineda. And what's encouraging about Severino's situation was that he pitched well out of the bullpen. So clearly he has the stuff to get people out at this level. It's just a matter of being able to get through the lineup two or three times, supplementing his primary pitches, working on the mental aspect of being a starter. But again, he's still young, and I have no doubt that he'll be able to develop that. And worst case scenario, he could go into the bullpen. That's not really an option for Pineda, but Severino said that he's willing to help the team any way he can.
Mm-hmm.
So if that means a bullpen role for him,
that's a nice consolation prize.
Yeah, if he's an effective relief pitcher, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining too much.
Now, I wouldn't mind that at all if that's what it's going to be. If we see some struggles and management decides he's not comfortable or fit in a starting role, I mean, let's put extra arms in the bullpen if we have to go that route. But Pineda, you are absolutely correct. That is not happening with him.
No.
And we're just going to have to muscle it out. See, what I do like about Pineda and his upside, what he still has the ability to get people out, striking them out. Yeah, he had a lot of strikeouts, over 200 strikeouts.
Yes.
I think last year, even with a bad ERA. But his issues got to get guys out. He can strike them out. It's just sometimes he gets into a funk, middle innings, loses concentration. And then especially the opposing batters, and he lets them balls hang up in the zone.
Yeah.
He gets tagged.
Yankee Stadium is a hitter's ballpark, and Pineda, the fly ball pitcher. So regardless of how he's pitching, he's going to give up a lot of home runs. As you said, he strikes out a lot of guys. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. But his problem is he leaves the ball up in the zone. He's not throwing effective strikes. He's just throwing it down the middle. I would take more walks from Pineda if it meant that he got, if he left a few balls out up over the plate. At this rate, his strike-to-ball ratio is so strong that he can afford to throw more balls out of the zone and still be an effective pitcher.
Yeah, correct. What about, let's get to the ace. Let's get to Tanaka, who I thought had a nice bounce-back year of durability. You could say consecutive years of better durability. It has improved since 2014. It got a little bit better in 15. And then 16, I think we could all say to this point, he's been fine. The only thing, and it's not necessarily his fault, I thought he pitched very well. He's definitely our number one. There's no doubt about that. But the thing about Tanaka is damn no decisions. Is what's up with the run support this guy, man? I mean, you can't predict when team or our team's going to score for him or not. But he had a lot of games left out on the table in 2016. So what about Tanaka going into the 2017 campaign? How confident he's going to be able to build off 16? What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't worry much about the win-loss record. You get guys like Chris Archer in Tampa Bay who have losing records despite being one of the, you know, top pitchers in the league. He's up there with the best Archer is. So the fact that Tanaka only went 14-4 is arbitrary. Yeah, he didn't get a lot of run support, but that's purely coincidental, I think. The Yankees didn't score a lot of runs in general last year, so the fact that they fell on his days, it just happened that way. Like you said, there's no way to predict that. The new pitching statistics completely ignore win-loss record. They mostly ignore ERA. So from an advanced metrics perspective, Tanaka was as good as anyone else in the top 5% of major league starters last year. He's definitely what the Yankees signed up for when they paid all this money for him. Well, at least he was last year. His injury risk has seemed to have subsided, like you said. I think anything that would have happened to him now would be completely unrelated to the fact that he didn't get surgery 2.5 summers ago. Mm-hmm. Like it's. Sure, if he tears his UCL, people are going to point to that, but I don't think it has anything to do with it anymore. Pitchers all over the league are getting Tommy John, and that could happen to Tanaka as easily. It could happen to anyone else. So the fact that you know he already has that partial tear is kind of irrelevant at this point, I think.
Okay, so there's no worries about Tanaka.
You're going to worry about anyone, but
he's our sure bet. He's as far as starting pitching, he's the surest bet we got, correct?
He's our best pitcher. Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. In terms of durability, I'm not sure he's the most durable pitcher.
You think he's going to have durability issues in 17?
I mean, he struggled with that in the past, as you said, but there's just as likely a chance for him to get injured as there is for anyone else. So he's not a massive frame, so there's a little more strain put on his joints when he pitches, especially the way he kind of like whips the ball in there. It doesn't seem like a very natural motion. Mm-hmm. But you know, I worry less about someone like Pineda just because of the way he pitches than I do about Tanaka. But I'm not going to let that be an issue at this point. I think he's just got to focus on pitching and being as effective as possible, and hopefully the durability will come, but there's no way to know.
All right, cool. What about CeCe, man? A guy who's been around for a while, so many innings, the workhorse, and especially we talked about it last year, about around this time last year, and he was coming off the rehab, and he's a full year beyond that point. What about Sabathian? He's had some quality starts for us last year.
He did.
But what do you think about 2017? It's almost the end of the road for him. What do you think about CeCe Sabathia?
So I think the way he pitched last year was very encouraging. He showed that he acknowledges the fact that he's no longer that overpowering fastball pitcher that he once was. Mm-hmm. And he showed that he's capable of getting guys out as more of a finesse pitcher, you know, hitting his points, dotting that fastball, throwing, you know, mixing his pitches effectively. He shows that he's capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me, that's just as good as being able to blow a 98-mile-an-hour fastball past someone. If you can strike a guy out, you can strike a guy out. I don't care how you do it. I was very encouraged again by the way CeCe looked last year. Hopefully he can continue to improve, and we'll see, you know, more good stuff out of him this year. I think he doesn't. He's not done pitching. His contract expires this year. I think he's fighting for a chance to continue pitching at the big league level. So, you know, he's got something to pitch for. And if he can show that he's capable of still producing, I would have no problem with the Yankees re-signing him to, a short-term contract where there's not really much to lose. I think CC would be happy to stay in New York also. So, maybe pitch as well when we get him back for $5 million in 2018. I'd be very pleased.
But what expectations would you want him to have in 17, where I think last year he was sub .500, about 9-12. Got you. He struck out. He had a good amount of strikeouts and innings pitched. Not quite 200, but for what he went through mentally, I would definitely take it. I definitely would take it, though.
I think for him, the key is just eating up innings. He can go out there and throw six.
He did that better than Dan Pineda, though, as far eating up innings, because Pineda, I think only Pineda only went seven innings twice last year. He's number two starting, Kenny.
Now, you mind the Yankees didn't have a single guy throw a complete game last year.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't let that happen. You'd see Ivan Nova throw a one-hitter into the seventh, and they'd have a three-run lead, and they yank him to throw Betances, Miller, and Chapman.
Correct.
So the fact that Pineda only had two, long starts, I don't read into much. But you're right in the fact that CC did throw more innings. He had more long outings. I think that's all you can ask for out of someone like CC. Just throw six or seven innings an outing and limit it to four runs, and you're probably putting us in line to win. At the very least, you're saving the bullpen a little bit by throwing a bunch of innings. And I think that would be an effective season.
So do you think with the starters we're going to get a little bit more quality innings, more innings pitch with all the guys across the board as a whole? Are we going to get at least to the six and two-thirds, seven innings of pitching? I mean, it's hard really to predict, but what do you think as far as them getting deeper into games as a collective?
So I would like to see that happen.
Do you think it will happen, though?
I'm not sure the Yankees will let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few guys in our pen that are capable of throwing three or four innings. Like, whoever doesn't make the starting rotation, we're going to have at least two of those guys. Either Brian Mitchell and Sessa, or Brian Mitchell and Green. These guys are all capable of throwing a lot of innings. So I'm sure that if the Yankees identify a reason the Yankee guy, they're not going to be hesitant to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a traditionalist. I like to see starters go deep into games, but in our game, that doesn't happen very much anymore, especially on the Yankees. So, sure, if it happens, I'd be very pleased. I don't think we'll be seeing a lot of complete games. I don't think we'll see a lot of eight-inning games, just because the goal was to win, and the Yankee philosophy right now is that you win best if the game's in the hands of the bullpen. So that's how we're going to probably be running the show this year.
Yeah. My last question about the starters. So we talked about an overall summary level. And do you expect – I guess you're saying Green, Mitchell, Sessa, like if you had your pick of the choice – of being that fifth starter, like you're going to go with
Mitchell? I pick Green.
Chad Green.
I think Mitchell is the least likely to land that role.
So he's bullpen. So
I think he might even be AAA. To be honest, I'm not sure he's going to make the team.
Okay. Okay.
He might. He might not.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, with Chad Green, would you say last year when he came over, he was more effective out of the bullpen? Or because I thought
he was.
Because I thought when he first came on, and I remember we was having those discussions on the show last year, and I remember him coming in at Arizona game. We went out west, and he got rocked.
Yes,
he rocked. Did.
But then his next outing, he looked sharp.
Yeah,
he looked very good in his second outing.
But he
then
lost
his third one
after that, I think.
Yeah, right. He lost his third outing.
It was enjoyable.
It was mixed reviews as a starter. I think he looked all right as a reliever. But I have high hopes for Chad Green. I think he's the real deal. I think he's got great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Yankees knew what they were doing when they traded Justin Wilson for him.
Yeah.
That's a lot of criticism. People are saying, hey, we needed a lefty reliever last year. Why not just hang on to Wilson? The Yankees, you know, went out and traded him for Sessa and Green. I think they knew what they were doing. I think Sessa and Green are both key guys for this bullpen and rotation going forward. And I think Green was actually the key piece that they were looking for as a member of their rotation this year and in the years to come.
Fair enough, fair enough. Right, see, the rest of the spring training games coming up, that's the starters. You know, we'll get into that more as we go week to week. Anything else from the spring training you're looking forward to? I have a bird watch with Greg Bird. You get to see some at-bats with Chris Carter.
He strikes out a lot. Chris Carter strikes out a lot.
Well, it bothers you, don't it?
I mean, it's acceptable in our game to strike out 200 times, 220 times if you hit 40 bombs, but I'm not a big fan of that type of baseball.
Man, shoot! What about next upcoming games? What about the youth, the guys that's getting a shot to get some at bats? You mentioned Torres earlier. Any other guys that is it Frazier or anybody else you'd like to see? Just see play in the next week or so.
Yeah, so you know what's interesting? In spring training, you usually kind of get bored when they yank the starters after four innings or in those games where they don't start the normal guys, they start the AAA guys. But in this spring training in Yankee camp, it's kind of what you're watching for. You know, you don't care if Starlin Castro is going to get a base hit because you know he's going to be the second baseman. But you're waiting to see Gleyber Torres come in the game. You're waiting for Miguel Andujar. You're waiting for Clint Frazier. You're waiting for these guys that are going to be on the big league roster next year, the year after.
In a couple years, maybe
we'll see him at the big league level this year in September. It's a lot of fun to watch these guys play. And they've shown they've got some great skill sets that are going to fit well in the Yankee system someday.
That's right, my man. That's exactly right. They looked good over the weekend too, man, and just the talent is there, man. It's exciting. You got a future in the next couple of years when they do have the chance to come up. So let me say this. Any final thoughts, Kenny D, New York Yankees talk on spring training up to this point, as well as the starting pitching?
You know, as I said, I think starting pitching is going to be, you know, it's going to be pretty standard for the Yankees this year. There's not a lot going on there. I don't expect significant improvement. I don't expect significant regression either, though. I think they're going to be about what they were last year. Hopefully, we can see a little
bit
more.
Does that get us to the playoffs? If it stays the same, does that get
I think I think their rotation is good enough as is, with a little bit of consistency to get us to the playoffs. I think given our lineup and our bullpen, I think it's good enough to get us there.
What about health? If one or two of those guys go down.
I think we got enough backups that it's not gonna be a problem. I think you could fill in with Sessa, you could fill in with Mitchell, you could go out and get someone if you really needed to. I think it's good enough. It's not great. It's good enough.
All right, cool. Tell everybody, New York Yankees Talk, how you could be found on social media for your articles and your content.
Yeah, you can just check me out on Facebook at New York Yankees Talk. It's all up there.
Nice, nice. That is New York Yankees Talk, the Dugout Podcast, Kenny D, myself, the Bleed Blue Show, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps to download all the audio archive episodes of the Dugout Podcast as well as all the shows. Kenny D will be back next Monday. We're going to discuss more of these games. Off to a good start. We'll see how these guys do in this Grapefruit League in 2017, dude.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir. Sangre azul.